Welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Lounge. My name is Steven, and today I would like to introduce to you the founder of the Dallas Stunt Riders, Remington. Remington is a stunt motorcyclist who took his passion for death-defying stunts to the Viper Air Show, where airplanes and motorcycles combine for a unique experience. Remington speaks about his musical upbringing, his first experience with a motorcycle, and what stunt he's actually afraid of and that he won't perform. In the Geek Legacy Lounge from the Dallas Stunt Riders, here is Remington. All right, so Remington, you pretty much for a living, you jump on a motorcycle and you're doing some things that wouldn't be safe for public use, let's say. Let's start from the beginning. What got you involved in doing this stunt riding? And officially, what do you call it? Let's start there. What do you officially call it, and how did you get involved?
Shoot, man. It is stunt riding, or we call it keeping it up on one, but I guess it's, yeah, street stunts, or a lot of it's called like parking lot stunt riding.
Okay.
And it's, you know, the main bikes that are used in that would be like a F4I or a Honda F4I or a 636 Kawasaki, and those are like the most popular bikes to use for that. You know, they're changing it up these days as bikes progress. So, we'll stunt anything from a 50, little 50 bike to I've seen people even stunt Harleys, Sportsters, and then, you know, they kind of change it up and
wow. That's impressive. I got to say that.
It's kind of fun.
All right. So exactly, how did you get involved starting doing this stunt riding? Did you just see somebody else do it and thought, oh, I can do that as well? That looks like a lot of fun. Or was it more of an elaborate process?
You know what? Since I was born, I had an obsession with motorcycles. I don't know what it was, but I just loved them. And what happened was my mother hated them. Yeah, she hated tattoos and motorcycles. And now I have tattoos and I do motorcycles. So she loves me right about now. But
you just described every mother in North America, I think.
Yeah, right?
Nothing new there.
Yeah, right. And so what happened was I was constant obsession. She'd never get me one. I had like a little Honda Spree that I would try to stunt, a little moped. And then, you know, I would go to my friends' houses to rent dirt bikes. I literally prayed to God for a dirt bike every night. And but it never came. So anyway, when I was around 19, 20 years old, I had these huge gauges in my ear, and I was like, you know, feeling all badass or whatever with these gauges. And my mom was like, I'll give you anything if you sew those things up. I hate them. Like, she hated them. And I was like, all right. I'll do it for a motorcycle. And she's like, done. And I was like, you're kidding me. And so I sewed them up the next day, and she's like, she was stunned. She couldn't believe I did it. And I was like, well, where's the motorcycle? And she was like, now she took 3 months to get me this thing, because you didn't want to be the one that was responsible if I got hurt or anything like that. I was like, you know, deal's a deal. So that was my first bike. I finally got it. Started just going down the highway, and I got passed up by this dude going like a buck 50. And I was like, I will not be passed up. So I caught up with him, and then we became good friends, and he taught me how to do my first wheelies. And then I got into a group called Dallas Stunt Riders and just started getting into the scene and became, you know, kind of like one of the founding members of Dallas Stunt Riders, and then kind of got notorious, and then it just went from there.
That is one of the most devious schemes I have ever heard, first off, in order to get what you want. That's first of all, that's brilliant. And second of all, so talk a little bit about the early days of the Dallas Stunt Riders. Did was this just more of a hobby and like, all right, let's just form a group, let's kind of do this for fun? Did you expect it to be, you know, a big corporation, so to speak?
No. It was just straight up. We were just notorious on the streets, and we got kind of like famous, if you will, in the stunt community. And then what happened was we started getting, news press, because like we would have this ride every year called the Crash Cast Memorial Ride. And it was a big ride. So you'd have thousands of bikes out there. And, cars were probably calling in saying we were slowing down traffic and everything else. I mean, this isn't just us. This was like people from around the United States would come in for this thing. And so, we eventually got on the news. And so that's, we just started. And then all of a sudden, we had a pilot hit us up. His name's Jason Newberg, and this is how I got into the air show scene. And he hit us up because he had kind of the same story. He got hit by the FAA because he was like buzzing houses and all this stuff. And he finally just goes, you know what? I'm just going to do air shows so I can do what I love to do and do it in a safe and legal manner. And then he wanted to give us the same opportunity.
That's great. So that's actually what I was going to ask. My next question is getting involved with the air shows. Is it a different element when you have airplanes going back and forth around you while you're doing the stunts, or is it just, oh yeah, it's one more death defying thing. I can deal with that. No big deal.
You know what? Yeah. When you're on a wheelie, you're already like concentrating, but no, I mean, absolutely. That plane's coming at you 200 miles an hour. And what it is it's just sheer trust. I can't explain it, but you're on one wheel. You have this machine coming at you with a smoke trail, so you know where he is, and you just hope and pray that he is as good as he is. You're just like, oh buddy, and he gets close and you're just like, oh, and it's loud, and so you're just like, all right Jason, you do your thing, we'll do ours, and hopefully we don't die. So far so good.
Is that
element.
Is that some type of pep talk? It's like, hey, great, have a great show out there. Please don't run into me.
Yeah, that's it.
Jeez.
Before the show, because he got us in there, and what happened was, he got us in there, and he's like, okay, we need you to be like the Blue Angels. And we have to stunt. We have to hold the wheelie the whole way, and then we're literally within 1 foot of each other. So we can, like, touch each other in the wheelie, and then we have to maintain a spread at the same time so he can fly through us. And yeah, so at first it was hilarious. We didn't know what we were doing, and then we got it. And then after that, it started becoming a blast. And it's a different element for sure.
That is unbelievable. I know that, you always hear stories with professional athletes, teammates who are, play so close together on a regular basis. They go out to dinner all the time. They hang out all the time and kind of build that, intuition to where the other is going to be on the court, the field, the ice, whatever it is. Is that kind of a similar mentality here with your pilots? Do you guys hang out all the time just to build that inherent trust and, like I said, intuition with one another?
Yes. No, absolutely. Like, the guys out there, you trust in them with your life. So
you have to, yeah.
It's not a sport for us. It's, like, worse. You're on a football field, you trust them with an injury. We're trusting them with every part of us.
With
death or entertainment. It's like being a gladiator, but yeah, man, you get real close real quick. And, your buddy over there, had he drank the night before? is he an incredible stunner, or is he just starting, so yeah, you get, absolutely. So the camaraderie is pretty astounding. And yes, you want that off the court relationship for sure. Cause, I've had guys sub in, and you you damn straight I want to see them stunt before they sub it. And you're like, okay, cool. You're vouched for, and I can see what you get. You're holding your own, so.
I don't blame you for that, by the way. That's that totally makes sense. So in watching some of the videos and preparing for this interview, I saw numerous times this gigantic, I guess you can call it like a wheel outside of the motorcycle. It kind of looked like a tumbler just to keep it going, doing somersaults and stuff. Where do these ideas come from? Is it just, you know, week-long planning sessions, or is it just, hey, you know what, let's throw a wheel outside of a motorcycle and let's see what we can make that happen?
No, it's absolutely just somebody is, that's Patrick Stevens came up with that one, and he's a crazy guy, so, and he's just like, hey, man, let's just weld this thing to the bike, and, you know, now we can do flips on a bike. We're like, all right, that sounds awesome, and then, you know, we all tried it out, and it's a blast. And then, but yeah, he's the guy that came up with that for sure. And so, you know, and then Jason goes, hey, let's add a jet car to the thing. And we'll make it a police car. And, you know, you guys should be familiar with that. And we were like, oh, thanks. So yeah, now we have a jet car called Misdemeanor. And, yeah, it was pretty funny.
Before these stunts actually are shown to the public, roughly how long do you practice a new one just to make sure that you got it right from every angle? I imagine the hours are in the triple digits at least.
Yeah, no, I tell you, the funny thing is, you know, they tell us don't practice anything new out there. Don't do anything new, but we do. So, I mean, you know, some things we're like, you know, yeah. First of all, a lot of it we've been doing for years. And then, you know, something new, you know, after you get kind of the base moves done, like a lot of the new things are a lot easier than you think to handle, I guess, as far as like a sports player. If you're an incredible quarterback and you start learning how to, I don't know, maybe throw with your left arm, like it just is going to be easier because you've been doing it a long time. But,
okay. So the muscle memory is kind of there.
We definitely have to practice for you know, a couple months on a new thing. And, but yeah, sometimes we just go out there and go, you know what, I'm going to try this thing. And it works out, you know. So.
Now, are these practice sessions, are they more of, you know, using the kind of sports analogy again, is it more of just like, hey, let's get together this day, let's come up with some new ideas and try them out and see what it looks like, see how it works? Or is it just showing up more like a musician style, like, hey, I just got this great idea, let's do it tomorrow?
It's both.
Both, okay.
So some days, like every day we practice on our own and, you know, when we can. And then we'll have lot sessions that have nothing to do with the plane, and it's just bikes. And we all show our new things and to each other and try to one up ourselves and then, you know, go, oh yeah, it's like skateboarding, you know, you're like, you know, you all hang out and then somebody does a trick and the other person wants to do another better trick and oh yeah. And then we'll go out to the airport with Jason and then we'll throw in new stuff and we'll put it in the choreography, if you will. We'll ask everybody, hey, let's do a spreader here. And can everybody do a spreader? Yes. Okay. If you can't do a spreader, you can't do this part. You know. Or, but if you can't, then we're like, okay, go learn it. You know. So, that's pretty much how it goes.
Unbelievable. So you were mentioning earlier how your mother wasn't exactly 100% behind the idea of you getting a motorcycle and doing that stuff, despite her best efforts to get you an upbringing in music. You're still able to incorporate that with your shows. Tell me a little bit about your musical background, how that kind of intrigued everything, and how it's incorporated into your shows now.
Yeah, I'm just the quick version of it is,
sure.
You know, my dad's an athlete, my mom's a musician, so like it's been a struggle my whole life to, you know, everybody says, you know, pick something, and I'm like, man, I'm just not that person. It's been a hard road for me in music too, because I've done everything from pop to hard rock to Latin rock to everything, because I just, you know, I enjoy doing everything and truly do. And but, you know, it's just hard for the business. So what happened was, I was, my mom was teaching, she's a professional vocal coach, so she was teaching Jessica Simpson at the time. And she, you know, she does like Beyonce and Demi Lovato and a couple other great acts. And so she's a really talented person. Love my mother. Anyway, so she actually, when I was 15 years old, we were walking the red carpet with Jessica, and this person, this girl, pulled me aside, and I started, she asked me for an autograph, and I was like, oh, all right, let me see what this, what's going on here. And so I started signing autographs down the line, and the next girl saw me sign her autograph, and so I just started going, and I'd never sang a note in my life. And they were like, when's your album coming out? And I'm like, next year. And I just started lying. And anyway, so after that, she pulled me aside and was like, you know what? You don't deserve that. I told you you have a great voice and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, I want my first verse. So I started doing that. I played guitar, and I was, you know, deathly afraid of the stage, deathly afraid of that stuff. But the girls somehow made me keep going. And then I started learning how to dance and play every instrument and sing, songwrite, produce, engineer, like, cause she had this, you know, school that she did. And so I had to like substitute for all her teachers and everything. So I just started getting good at it. And then I had to make a decision when I was in high school, because I had a full ride for basketball to just a little Division III school, but it was still something.
It's still a full ride, yeah. That's something.
Yeah. And so, she, you know, I had to decide whether I wanted to pursue music full-time or basketball. And I made a decision to do music, and that's it. So then, so how I got into air shows was, we started signing, our first show was 9,000 people, and I don't even remember the town. It was some small Texas town, and Jasper, that's what it's called. And but man, were we the talk of the show, signed autographs for like an hour, and we had a couple of shirts, and we sold out of all our shirts, and we were like, wow. We had a show the next weekend. And we were like, we're going to buy all this merch, because we were like, we didn't know how it was going to be received. And so all of a sudden, the next weekend, we had 10,000 people per day, so 2 days, so 20,000 people, and then signing autographs again, sold out of all our shirts, all our stuff. And we were like, wow, this is something to this. And so I get the bright idea. I'm like, I'm going to bring my CDs and stickers and all that stuff if I can't sell those. So in the next show, I sell out all my CDs. They're like, you sing too? You whatever? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, wow, we want a CD. And so again, I was like, whoa, there might be something to this. And then my pilot goes, will you do the music for my, will you edit the music for my show? And I go, I'll do it on one condition, if you put my music in it. And he's like, okay. So I started doing that. And then I saw, and that was for 50,000 people per show. And then everybody started loving that. And then I saw, and then he told me about Oshkosh, which is 500,000 people. And then we were like, I looked at the website and I saw that there were A-list artists playing at that show. And I go, wait a minute, how incredible would it be if I was that A-list artist? And then we stunted at the show. It'd be the first singer that stunts and goes and does the air show. And I was like, there's my thing. That's got to be it, you know? And I can do music and sports. And so ever since then, I've been pursuing that. It was just like a light bulb for me.
So not only are you a talented musician as well as a crazed stunt writer, you're also a smart businessman is what I'm getting from all this. You know how to work the angle. You know how to get your name in there. That I mean, those are good skills to have, to say the least.
Well, you know what? My mom is a great mentor for sure. She, you know, and just enough light bulbs came off. I was just like, you know what? How do I make money doing what I love? And it you know, it took a while to figure it out, but now I think I get it. And then I have a kind of a movement. You know, I want to be like a lifestyle. I want to represent a lifestyle. And so like the music and the writing and everything, I want to flow with that lifestyle so that, you know, kids and adults and everybody alike can, you know, relate to it and give them a show. You know, there's not a lot of people out there, you know. Michael Jackson, for example, is the best business model I've ever seen, because you have the lead guitar player. Everybody loves the lead guitar player. And then you have Michael's dancing with a bunch of dancers. And then you have the show. You're giving people a show. So you can break it down to a piano, or you can give them the greatest rock anthem of all time. And so I'm trying to kind of follow in those footsteps as far as my business model.
That's absolutely brilliant. And like you were saying, you're making money doing something that you want to do. It goes back to that old saying of, you know, you're doing something that you love on a regular basis, making money for it. So therefore you're never working.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know, that way the hours that you put in there, cause it's a lot, you know, I mean, it's a life. You have to choose it, but the hours become, you know, a blessing. So.
Now, with your music getting incorporated into the Viper Air Show along with your stunts, do you cater, you know, the stunts to the music when you're writing these songs? Do you think of, all right, I'm on the highway doing this stunt or doing this, you know, the airplanes flying at me, the feelings and all that kind of stuff? Like, are those separated or are they conjoined enough?
No, they're absolutely conjoined. Like, you know, I've got a song called Light Up the Sky, and, you know, it's like, The pre-chorus is, you know, yeah, we're jumping off rooftops to land on the beach. You know, it's like we're jumping off. So it's like Johnny Knoxville meets Justin Timberlake. So, you know, yeah.
There's a combination exactly. For you.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's just promoting, like, having fun, you know. Like, that's why Jackass was so popular, is because they were, you could resonate with them. Because they were having so much fun. It wasn't put on. They would, you know, they would, even some of the stuff they didn't know that they were going to be punked on. So you could tell how much fun that they were having. So I kind of want that to put in my, you know, be put in the music. And, you know, so it's definitely synonymous with the visuals.
Now, in addition to doing all of this, you're also very, very involved with charities and volunteering. Tell me a little bit about the time that you spend and who you're helping.
I'll tell you how this happened. There's a move on the motorcycle. What we do is called a champion. And it's when you take your left hand or your right hand off the motorcycle while you're doing a wheelie, and you put a number one in the air, and we call it a champion. And so what happened was, what it means is you're going brakeless. It means like you're awesome, pretty much. Like it's saying, like, it's a very cocky move. And so what happened was, all the girls, all the dudes associated with the stunt community, we also, when we take pictures in the community or at the club or anywhere, we always throw up a champion in our pictures. Well, I was like, wow, this is a really cool thing. And then a friend of mine's mother was dying of stage 4 cancer. And she sent me a picture of her getting chemotherapy with throwing up a champion. And that's when I knew, like, I got goosebumps. And I was like, wow, dude, this could be a movement. You know, this could be something that I could get behind. And you know, the visual is there with the champion, and then, you know, obviously the need is there for people for hope, you know? And so I, you know, started writing songs about the champion. I started incorporating it into every picture that I take, and you know, wanted to be kind of passed on a bigger worldwide level. So I, you know, I met up have a friend of mine named, you know, Alexander, and he is involved with a lot of charities, and so like Falling Whistles, the Giving Keys, and Crochet Kids. And so I've just really been plugged into giving these guys like a visual and music to go behind it, and just trying to help with the movement, and so that every time someone throws up a champion, you know, it's associated with hope and in these charities, and also you know, also the motorcycles, also good things besides just charity, but just a synonymous hope and fun visual. So that's how I got into the charity thing.
That is absolutely incredible. If people want more information on these, where can they go?
Remingtonmusic.com is to get to all of my social stuff. So anything that I'm doing or anything I'm a part of, you can see there, like all my Facebook, Instagrams, all on that one website. And then Falling Whistles is, you know, just type in Falling Whistles. And the other one is The Giving Keys, and the other one's Crochet Kids. And so, yeah, if you want any information on those. But we just did a Relativity Media and Susan G. Komen event that I was doing the music for, and they just came out with, we just beat the, how do you put this, the court's decision overrode, it was an Angelina Jolie thing, and when she had this $50,000 test for breast cancer screening, and she was absolutely appalled that it cost so much, and 90% of women with this cancer die of it. This type of breast cancer. And so, but you can't, I mean, who can afford $50,000 tests? So
exactly.
We just got it down to, I think a couple hundred dollars now, because we overturned the court's decision to patent it. And, so, I mean, that's a victory. So stuff like that, you know, that we can help people. And then, so I'm trying to come out with a way to make it universally a visual that it's, you know, kind of like the ribbon, you know, or any visual that you see. So that's kind of what I've been working on.
Hey, every little bit counts and goes a long way, whether people notice it or not. That's a great fight. Now, you willingly fly, or I'm sorry, you willingly ride your motorcycle towards airplanes. You do all this death-defying activity. Is there anything that you're physically afraid of or won't do in life?
Women.
Well, all right. Here we go.
they still freak me out, but I love them. But no, I don't know. I haven't found something that I won't be willing to try yet. I mean, maybe there is something, but you know, the funny thing enough is, all the stuff I do, from wakeboarding to skateboarding to anything, really, I have not gone skydiving yet, and I just haven't done it. Not that I'm afraid of it, but, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of crazy, I guess.
It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when on that, correct?
Yes, when, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for your time here. I do appreciate it. Again, why don't you go ahead and plug your website one more time, just so everyone out there can get all the right information that they need.
Remingtonmusic.com. Yeah, and all my songs are there and videos, and then you can look on YouTube as well, but there's all the links on that website. So.
As well as upcoming schedules for the Viper Air Show. Is that also on your site?
Yep. Yeah, Viper, I mean, if you want to go just to ViperAirShows.com, it just sounds like it's spelled Viper Air Shows, and the schedule and the pictures and Also, if you want to like see some fun stuff on YouTube, just type in plane flyby, and we're like the top hit. That's when my pilot came within probably 2 feet of a girl that almost crapped her pants because he was so close, and we got like a million hits in one day. It was pretty funny.
Do you ever record the audience's reactions while doing these air shows and just review them later?
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually put them in a couple of our videos, and my funniest ones are like the 80-year-olds that are clapping for us and everything, and I'm like, that's awesome. You know, so our audience is from 5 years old to 85, so it's universally accepted.
I feel like you can do your own Mystery Science Theater with their reactions sometimes. That would be absolutely hilarious.
You know what? I'm going to have to give you credit on that one if I come out with that. That would be hilarious.
Absolutely. I'll be sure to make that show as well.
Yeah. You really got to get you on there.
Absolutely. Remington, again, thank you so much for your time here. I absolutely enjoyed it. You enjoy the rest of your day.
You too, brother. Thank you so much.
Thanks again to Remington for talking with us. You can find him at remingtonmusic.com and on Facebook by searching for the Dallas Stunt Writers. That's the Writers with a Z. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Geek Legacy Lounge. My name is Steven, saying stay fabulous and keep your controllers charged.